This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Sarami on the mic and as well as...
Gracie here on the panel.
And we just had a bit of a situation, but we're back on air, so that's the main thing. The time is 8:01. We'll be on till 9 p.m. this evening, guys, so stay tuned. Got a deadly show happening this evening. To begin with, I just want to acknowledge country which we stand on, the Kulin Nations. Me being a Nyingana man from the Kimberleys, I'm actually a visitor as well, and I'm always honoured to be able to sit here in this studio and discuss Aboriginal topics with my fellow co-hosts and as well as our panellists.
Yes, I'm here to discuss all the things that are coming up on this show tonight. We do have a massive, massive show tonight. Kicking off with a little bit of a tense topic, though, from this morning's sunrise.
Interesting. So we've got a little video segment we'll be showing this evening in regards to that topic. And we've got some guests who, unfortunately, the front man's been sick, but he is on the phone tonight with us. That's the Mexicans. And this band is actually all the way from my own hometown in Broomtown. And they're a deadly reggae funk band. And so we'll get a chance to listen to some of their music as well.
Yeah, definitely. We've got some of their songs coming up, so keep listening for that. If you do want to get involved tonight, text us in. It's 0427JOY949, or you can email on air at joy.org.au. And a big thank you to World Wide Wave as well. If you missed any of their show, definitely hit up their podcast on the Joy website at joy.org.au.
So stay tuned, guys. We'll be back very soon after this track.
This is Jim Blair with My Island Home. You're on Joy.
For 6 years I lived in the city. Every night I dream of the sea. They say home is where you find it. Will this place ever satisfy me? For I come from the soul of the people. We always live by the sea. Now I'm down here living in the city with my girl and my family. My island home. My skin, take me away. This decor ain't really fit for a king. Cause what I say, I ain't really feel what they done with the place. Y'all can take it all back in exchange for them old ways. I got freedom on my mind. This ain't freedom, fam, they lie. I build castles up in the sky to remind me of how we fly to the coast. Raise the toast for my beautiful island home. For not where we came from, but where it is that we gone. It's evening, drop wind blows. From the hills all across the plains, I close my eyes, I'm standing, I put on the sea again. I'm holding it long to the spiel. Feel I'm close to where it must be. My island home.
for me. My island heart. My island heart. Yeah. My island heart. My island home awaits for me. Yeah.
Hey you mob, this is Davey and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming. This is Thrummy on the mic. We just wanted to let you know that we'll be discussing a very important topic that happened this morning on Sunrise in regards to the Aboriginal adoption. So they basically were saying that it's time that white people start to adopt more Aboriginal people due to concerns of neglect and child rape and, you know, some really heavy issues that have been taking place. And I just wanted to give a bit more perspective from an Aboriginal perspective in regards to what's not being told and the poor research that was actually that happened on Sunrise this morning, because there was no actual representation.
No, there wasn't. They Sam Arbitrage is one of the hosts at Sunrise, and she was heading up this segment or this interview, if you will, and she had two, I guess, radio shock jocks is probably the appropriate name for them to discuss this topic, and both of them were white. So there was no representation of Indigenous people there at all, and it was middle-aged white people discussing the stolen generation.
Yeah, and there's a significant misunderstanding in the current situation, because I guess it's going back to the old times in regards to how when the first settlers came in and decided to take over the country in regards to stealing country and not really believing that this country was actually occupied in the very beginning. And it comes to the point of stolen generations. Now, stolen generations has been a huge topic since the beginning of time in regards to what happened when our people were taken away because they weren't they were told that they weren't educated or they had no ways of sustaining family living. And the idea of whiter or fairer skinned children being taken was to assimilate and to disassociate from culture. So there's a big gap that's been, I guess, a struggle that's been going on for the last 250 years. And it's come to that point where it seems like it's done the full circle again now.
Yeah, I think we've gone back, unfortunately. We've, you know, had decades of this conversation, and you always think you're making progress, but it looks, you know, from this chat today, I think is a prime example. And also the Federal Assistant Minister for Children, David Gillespie, this is his one of his policies that he wants to bring in, where he wants to relax the rules around white people in a way adopting Aboriginal children from abusive homes. But obviously there's been no discussion with Indigenous people or anyone, for that matter, that's not a white person.
Yeah, it was three white people on the panel at the time and in discussion about a topic that they actually have no real true understanding of, you know, being there or actually going through this this themselves. So I think we've got a video now we want to show you guys.
Yeah, we've got the chat here with Sam, so we're just going to play a bit of this interview for you.
A federal government minister has suggested white families be allowed to adopt abused Aboriginal children to save them from rape, assault and neglect. Currently, they can only be placed with relatives or other Indigenous families. But Children's Minister David Gillespie says relaxing the rules is a better alternative to creating an abandoned or damaged generation. It's a hot topic this morning to discuss it. We're joined by commentator Prue McSween in Sydney and Ben Davis from Radio 4BC in Brisbane. Morning to you both. Prue, I guess post-Stolen Generation, there's been this huge move to leave Aboriginal children where they are, even if they're being neglected in their own families. Should white families be allowed to adopt at-risk Aboriginal children?
Oh, of course, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. You know, we can't have another generation of young Indigenous children being abused in this way, and this conspiracy of silence and this fabricated PC outlook that, you know, it's better to leave them in this dangerous environment. I mean, it's just crazy to even contemplate that people could be arguing against this.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a responsibility as human beings to care for vulnerable children, and to think that we would knowingly, then the statistics prove it, knowing that we're going to leave them in these dangerous environments is just not on. So good on you, David Gillespie, and please don't worry about the people who decry and hand-wring and say that this will be another Stolen Generation. Just like the first Stolen Generation, where a lot of children were taken because it was for their well-being, we need to do it again, perhaps.
Ben, there's this absolute terror amongst many bureaucrats, many of them white, that this would create a new Stolen Generation. What's the balance here?
No, I'm with Prue. Good on David Gillespie for standing up and saying what a lot of politicians would and are afraid to say because of the fear of being labelled racist. I mean, this political correct nonsense has got to go. And, you know, I take a lot of value on what Warren Mundine says. I mean, he's got the ear of prime ministers, and he says this is PC madness gone way too far. We need to be protecting kids. We need to be protecting Aboriginal kids and putting them back into that culture. What culture are they growing up and seeing? Well, they're getting abused, they're getting hurt, and they're getting damaged. He said this has got to change with them 100%.
Yeah, let's hope some sense prevails there. Poor kids.
So there you go. That was the conversation they had this morning on Sunrise. Now, there's a couple of things that they stated, and it's just, I find it so, what's the word? It's hard to say something without being, you know, I guess biased, because I am an Aboriginal person, and I know how difficult things have been when it comes to the system and having to convert from one way of cultural understanding to another. And it's that whole thing of, you know, our personal struggles as a community in general. We've been misconstrued through the media for too long. I can never say this enough in regards to protocols and ways of living. There was a particular comment that she mentioned. She said, we have to be careful in regards to, you know, looking after the responsibility and being responsible for our children and knowing that these kids are in dangerous situations. Now, there's only been three known actual situations that actually occurred in these communities, and this caused a closure for communities. And when you look at these topics in regards to domestic violence or any issues in regarding children's safety, such as, like I mentioned before, suicidal possibilities through to rape and possible, you know, and other things to the extremes. And it's just difficult to hear this, because I also have lived in communities, and I have a very good understanding of how communities have lived and run. And when you have three white people, white privileged people, that who are sitting up on this topic and not really seeing any perspective, not actually having an understanding of any of the protocols that happened, you know, on communities, and also the idea of just not even having any black representation. So tonight I'm going to actually be having a conversation with from two perspectives, and one is from a friend of mine who's actually a foster carer, and she's on the line with us right now. Her name is Jessica Lindsay. How are you, Jess?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So just before we begin, Jess, you actually live in Broome, don't you?
Yes.
So in regards to your type of, you know, the work that you've also done, you've worked quite a bit in regards to majors in behavioural science and Aboriginal studies. And your work is, I guess, you know, as a white person and living in communities and growing up in communities, I'd just love to hear your perspective and basically give us a bit more insight to what it is personally for you, living in communities, and also knowing that you've also seen half the struggles and what our people go through.
Yeah. I was just really offended by the comments that were made. I thought it was completely ridiculous that they didn't have anybody from Child Protective Services that sort of, you know, works and lives in that world and knows how complex it is. They didn't have any Aboriginal representation. It was just, yeah, very uninformed and sloppy journalism. It didn't, from my perspective also as a carer, it's just fabrication. I have special guardianship orders, which is, you know, very similar to adoption for an Aboriginal child. So to say that that it doesn't happen, that white carers care for Aboriginal children, is ridiculous, just completely ridiculous, because it happens regularly. It's about, you know, protecting the child, and unfortunately there's a lot of kids in care from all walks of life and not enough people putting their hands up to be foster carers.
Yeah, and the conversation this morning, because you got to see the segment also, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I thought that the comments, I just couldn't actually believe that they were saying that the Stolen Generation, you know, that was for their own good. That was horrifying, and I think that she should be made to retract that statement. Very, very offensive.
Yeah, because in regards to McSweeney's Ben Davis, yes, the idea of them saying that it's it's interesting to hear what they're saying. It's not bringing back the Stolen Generation. They're just saying it's about looking after the kids. And I remember having this conversation earlier in regards to what this perspective and the differences between living in community and, you know, full too well what it's like to live in community and seeing how the protocols run in Aboriginal communities and how it differs from, I guess, their system.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. One thing that I did actually a special projects research paper into the overrepresentation of Aboriginal children in out-of-home care. And most children, Aboriginal children that are taken into care are taken because of what's deemed as neglect, whereas most non-Indigenous children that are taken into care, the reason is usually for significant abuse. One thing that I researched was the fact that you've got non-Indigenous, very westernised systems of parenting and people that don't understand Aboriginal culture coming in and deciding that children are being neglected in one case in particular, because they walk in and they can't see a mum and a dad and think that this child is therefore left, you know, on its own and neglected and completely... not recognising that actually there's an auntie there that, you know, is a mother. There's elder siblings that have, you know, responsibilities for that child. There's grandparents, and just overlooking the fact that there's another, you know, culture that they don't understand, and then just sort of, you know, saying, oh, but this child must be neglected and missing what was really going on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I watched, obviously, the Sunrise report this morning, and I'm not sure if it was something that was kind of just pulled together last minute, because a lot of the information and facts that they were putting forth aren't actually true or backed up at all. You know, from the Bringing Them Home report into the Stolen Generations, it's found that interracial adoption is actually contrary to the best interests of Aboriginal children in, you know, the majority of cases. And obviously no human on earth wants a child to be living in an abusive environment in any way, but to think that, you know, the only way to combat this is to remove Indigenous children and place them with white families is a little bit, you know, far-fetched and quite backwards.
It's ridiculous, because, I mean, there's a placement policy that exists, the Aboriginal practice policy, where, you know, if a child's taken into care, then immediately, you know, what, I don't know what you call it there, but the Department of Child Protection, they, you know, have to seek out a close relative, number one, you know, and when they can't find a close relative, they'll go to the, you know, extended family, extended community, you know, someone in the same area. Then if they can't find anybody under that kind of umbrella, they'll go for any, you know, for a person that identifies as being an Aboriginal person. So that there's three huge layers that they go through of trying to keep that child, you know, within their culture, and then it's an absolute last resort. A child could be placed with a non-Indigenous, you know, carer. They just miss that completely.
So, Jess, in regards to yourself having two children who've actually adopted, both Aboriginal children, is that correct?
I've got special guardianship orders, of course, for a child and a another one in my care at the moment, which is just, a foster relationship. Yeah,
yeah, just quickly in regards to the process you had to go through in order to get these children too. Can you let us know briefly in regards to what that was, and also what are the possibilities before you actually adopting, because of, is there another way of, in conjunction with Aboriginal families, to be involved in this process?
Yeah, well, the process of getting special guardianship orders, you know, is immense and it's rare, and the biological parents have to be on board, have to be part of the court process. Me personally, I had to get a lot of community support, primarily from a lot of Aboriginal people, to kind of, I guess, vouch for me that I would support that child's cultural identity, and that I would make sure that, you know, they know exactly who they are, where they're from, and that they're going to sort of maintain the connection to family. And, it's a huge, huge issue. But for me, yeah, it wasn't exactly, a walk in the park. It was a very complicated, long process, of which, the parents were fully involved and had to be on board with.
Well, that's about time for that. Unfortunately, Jess, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for chatting with us, Jess. You're on Urban Dreaming on Joy. This is Emily Warramurra with Black Boy.
To learn about life and how his people lost their way. He was very stubborn, he was just a child, and now his life is mystified. The color of the
your life is not destroyed. Ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum.
Hey, this is Joe Williams, former NRL player, professional boxer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Stay deadly with Urban Dreaming.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Urban Dreaming with Gracie and Sarami. That was Emily Waramara before that with Black Boy.
Yeah, so we were just discussing earlier about the Sunrise topic this morning on regards to Aboriginal adoption, and we were just saying how it's becoming the full circle again of the Stolen Generations. It's really particularly unnerving in regards to what's been happening, because it was a three-way conversation that wasn't particularly given any Aboriginal perspective or any perspective on from the children's perspective. And isn't this what the issue is about?
Yeah, 100%. I think if you're going to have a conversation, of that topic, you definitely need representation in there of the minority that you're discussing.
Yes, and thanks to Jessica Lindsay for coming in and having a conversation with us on the phone. And in regards to the topic, you know, I feel it's a calculated political sort of campaign to demonise the marginalised communities. And it's got to that decision in regards to what do we do as a community? How do we actually look at ways of not getting angry, of course, but finding ways that we can educate society? Because that's what this show is about, is educating people about ways that the protocol has to work within regards to communities and to the urban way of living as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it comes down to education and not having ignorance there. And, you know, it's that whole thing. If you're not represented by the community that you're discussing, whether it's LGBTI or Indigenous or a minority of any sort, if that representation isn't there, how are you getting a clear debate or discussion?
Yeah, so onto something light now. We're going to have a conversation with a very, very good friend of mine. He's actually, they're a band from Broome, and these guys play reggae, funk, and, you know, they give it a twist of rock as well. They're such a fun party band, and these guys are doing a tour all around Melbourne at the moment, and they're currently working on the Brunswick Music Festival. And on the line right now, we have Tonchi McIntosh. How are you, Tonchi?
Well, thanks. How are you, Siri?
Excellent. Really, really good, actually. So you guys are on tour.
Yes, we are, and it's so good to meet a fellow Broome boy.
Yeah.
kicking ass in the city, bro.
Oh, man, just, you know, we're all doing what we do. But it's just really interesting for those who don't know Tonchi. Tonchi's actually a producer and musician from Broome, and a lot of the work that he's done has been a lot of supporting platforms for Indigenous artists. And then they come to, I guess you've done a full circle now. You've gone back to your own sort of roots and who you are as an artist, and also discovering, you know, talent on the way that you've met throughout the times you've been in Broome. Let us know who the other members are.
Yeah, spot on. We have Dan Houston here. He's just on his way driving from Tasmania back to Broome. Broome is one of those places where you visit once and you end up living there for the rest of your life, and that's what's happening to Dan. We've got Brendan Cleary here from down Perth way, and he's living up in Broome at the moment. And Steph Smith, also on his way back from Byron Bay across back to Broome to be close to the band. And Steph's got a very interesting project on the boil. He's got a veggie oil run truck, six-wheel drive truck, that he's building a stage on the back so that we can go to the communities such as Balgo and Bitaluna and Youngnara and Luma and Beagle Bay and Bidjadenga and Cunanara and Halls Creek and Turkey's Creek and... All the places where the bands are coming from and looking for work, and we can go to their communities and put on concerts. And I can't wait for stuff to come there.
Fantastic.
We've also got Western Australia's, one of Western Australia's leading tourism operators, a small business that he started up a couple of years ago, and he's just gone from pillar to post, and he's just breaking boundaries everywhere and introducing people to the beautiful Yarra country and surrounds of his grandparents. And this is Bart Pegram.
Barty. So for those who don't know, Bart Pegram is actually the son of Stephen Pegram. And yeah, they were a big band back in the days. You can explain.
He was part of a couple of very, very prominent bands in the Kimberleys and Broome area. Probably the first one was Couples, which was the backing band and songwriting band of Brand New Day, the original, and they moved into Scrap Metal, and then the famous 20-year-old band, the Pigram Brothers now. And we're lucky enough to have the now drummer for the Pigram Brothers, which is Uncle Gavin Pigram. So we sort of poached him from the Pigram Brothers because they weren't doing much a few years ago, so we said, we'll come and do something with us. So it was very lucky for us.
Gavin's band,
So we've got a song right now from the Mexicans. We're going to play one of them, and then we'll get back to you guys in a minute. So this song is actually called Sometimes. Enjoy.
Sometimes my lover, she comes to me in the bright light of a brand new day. She's making me feel like a man. Sometimes the worries of the world, they kind of seem like mine. And sometimes I feel a little blasé when I'm seeing people crying. And sometimes we'll be right back.
Namani, you mob. This is Jacob Boehm. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9.
Yes, sir. You're an Urban Dreaming. Thank you, Jacob. Knocking you too. So, yeah, we've just been having a chat, guys, and that song right then, that was Sometimes, by the way, from the Mexicans with their new album from Broom Chili, and that's the title of their the CD. It looks amazing.
You still there, boys?
Yay!
I think we lost you a little bit there, but we've got you back now. It's a bit hard from Nam to
typical
Broom.
Typical Broom, my babe.
Yeah. You are on the other side of the country, so.
Yeah, so let us know about your tour, where you're heading off to next, and what you just did in Melbourne.
Yeah, so we're lucky enough to get on the lineup for the 2018 Port Fairy Folk Festival, which is, I must say, a beautiful experience. Lots of world music from all around the world, even Broom. And we fitted right in there. We seemed to chase the oldies away with our crazy music, but that was okay. All the young kids had an awesome time and helped us celebrate the release of our album. And tomorrow night we're at the Lohman Hotel, which is in East Brunswick, 225 Nicholson Street.
That's right around the corner from me.
There you go. You can check them out.
On that street.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to come down.
Oh, yeah, this is Grace, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm here.
Grace is our panellist.
So, the Lohman Hotel is one of those incredible places that are family-owned, hugely supportive of original music in the Melbourne area, but been going for 20 or 30 years, hugely loved, and every drinker is a musician. And so we're really happy to be back there and be part of that musical family, keeping the traditional going. They've been supporting Broom music for a long, long time, and we're proud to be back there.
So, Tonchi, because you actually used to live in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Broome. So what was the move? Like, what made you move to Broome? And I guess what made you fall in love with Broome?
That's an awesome question. That the song you just played for us, Sometimes, I played it in Broome about 6 years ago at a mate's wedding. Probably one of the first same-sex weddings in Broome, I'm not sure. And I changed the words a little bit, and it was just a beautiful experience being there. And I honestly fell in love with Broom when I was there about 6 years ago, working with the Countrymen, recording their songs for 6DBY and the Pilbara and Kimberley Aboriginal Media radio station, Galari. And I got a chance to travel all through the Kimberley, meeting these wonderful, beautiful people who are so extremely talented, who never really imagined that their music could get out of their communities. So part of that recording loop, putting them on the air was an incredible experience. And I came back home, packed up my things, and basically went back there. And I've been there ever since. I've been there for 6 or 7 years. And one of those places, actually, we should ask you to play one of our songs called The Last Frontier. And it basically tells our story. Tell your friends they should be here because they're living up in the last frontier. And that was my movie. I love Melbourne dearly. And Broome is like, I don't know if Broome's a suburb of Melbourne or Melbourne's a suburb of Broome, but the human spirit is strong and the love for culture and storytelling is strong. And old fashions, the good old fashions where we support each other and we always have a smile on our face no matter what's going on is still there in both these communities. And, that's how I sort of ended up in the Kimberley. Basically, I met the Pigman Brothers first time and at Port Fairy Folk Festival as well. And just meeting their character, I recognised something that I yearn for, this beautiful family community that makes so much sense in this crazy world.
That's that Broom Leon calling, definitely. So, yeah, just so you know, guys, we're actually listening to one of our favourite bands from Broom. This is the Mexicans. And these guys are roots, reggae, jazz, music influenced with storytelling, of course, and the multicultural sense of Broome as a community. So one of the next tracks we're going to play for you right now
is The Last Frontier from them. And if you are in Nam, in Melbourne, definitely get down to the Lohman Hotel tomorrow in Brunswick East. It's on the corner of Blythe and Nicholson. I know it very well. And check them out live because you don't want to miss these guys.
Yes, you're an Urban Dreaming. Joy 949.
Thank you. Kimberley, where the king tides rule the ocean. I'll be causing some commotion with my good friends by my side. I'll be dancing to the rising tide. So tell your friends they should be here, we're living it up in the last frontier. Yeah, tell your friends they should be here, we're living it up in the last frontier. The west wind fights the eastern cloud. Hang on tight as the build up now. Grand hermit crab tracks cross the sand, bat in search of the ripe mango, frog barks at the lightning show. It's just sweet, sweet music for our ears, we're singing it up in the last frontier. Just sweet, sweet music for our ears, singing it up in the last frontier. Just sweet, sweet music for our ears, singing it up in the last frontier.
Yes, the Mexicans there with an upbeat song, getting into the festivity feel. That was the final frontier. Oh, sorry, the last frontier. All right, guys. Yeah, just so you know, we are on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
And Grazy here on the panel on Joy 94.9.
Yes, we're with you until 9 p.m. And on the line we have with us, this is Tonchi McIntosh and the Mexicans.
Hey.
Yo, yo.
So good to see you thriving here, Siri. You're such an incredible talent, and we're so proud of you, mate. Keep going. Don't stop.
Oh, you're going to make his head that much bigger.
Thank you, brother. So, yeah, those who don't know the Mexicans, they're an amazing band who are reggae roots, jazz music, and generally they're storytellers, and that's what they do with the music. So the band consists of Gavin Pigram, George Bishop, Bart Pigram, Staff Smith, is that correct?
Yeah.
Brendan Clary, Dan Houston, and Tonchi McIntosh. And, it's a big crew, but you guys are, you know, very familiar faces of Broome and the Kimberleys and such talent. You've all been freelance artists yourselves. Let us know more about how you all met.
I think you'd be quite familiar with the Z Bar in Broome, Siri, but we were watching my old man, actually. This is Bart speaking, and we were watching Stephen Pigram with Gavin drumming, actually. And me and Tonchi had two big Movembers happening at the time. And we had a few too much, I think, a few too many tequilas, and we were...
Well, you got it. You're Mexicans.
Yeah, so we were talking about setting up a band that actually suited to the palm trees, the mango trees, and the beautiful beaches of Broome. And we sort of agreed that there wasn't enough bands doing tribute to the lovely island feel that we have in Broome. And so we thought, oh, let's do some music that suits that, which is, you know, a bit Caribbean, calypso, Jamaican, whatever you want to call it. And the first thing came to mind was reggae music. So we started off doing reggae covers, and we were just talking about it then, the boys. And then and we've actually formed and started to write our own stuff, which doesn't sound like reggae at all. It's completely become this world music mixture of things, and we're quite happy going in that way. And we've got seven blokes in the band at the moment, and this is the first time all seven of us have been together. And so we're bringing different experiences to the band, and the flavour has completely changed, but we're loving the flavour, and we're quite happy rolling on with it.
So the CD itself, this will be the first, and now I guess you guys or Forever Music are working on different tracks or different sounds as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, we've got a keyboard player, Steph Smith, came back from Cuba and Mexico. He actually recorded the keyboard tracks that are on the album in Mexico. And, yeah, he just put himself on a plane to go and learn the styles of the Latin jazz era, and he came back and transformed our lives, really. And Brendan Cleary's been playing with one of the original jazz bands in Perth. They performed regularly at the Railway Hotel for the last 20 years. And, you know, the jazz trumpet on there is just another element that you don't usually get to see much in Broome, but we welcome it dearly. And of course, we've got Dan Houston on saxophone, which is some crazy Coltrane shit going on there. And mixed that with some countrymen from Broome and me, this mixed up Australian, Mexican musician and songwriter, it's turned into this sound. We can't describe it. I hope it's not too crazy, but it's listenable.
Have you kept the moustaches now that you're playing in a band called The Mexicans?
Well, over the 5 years, I think they come and go quite regularly.
Yeah.
A little laugh, and then we change it if it's a bit too much. We disappoint some real Mexicans every now and then. They come along and expect a mariachi band.
And I would say they're pleasantly surprised.
Most definitely, yeah.
Now, you guys are doing also social media with your band, and I noticed just the other day you guys caught up with Neil Murray.
We... drove through Lake Balac and gave him a call, and lo and behold, he's just turned the keys off driving in from performing at an anniversary of the first cricket team from Australia that ever toured Great Britain, England. They won 11 games, and Neil had built Aboriginal cricket side. They absolutely blitzed it over there in England. Now, brought together by this great gentleman named Will. His last name, Tom Wills, and Neil Murray had written a song about him. And basically, I think Tom Wills is a bit like Neil Murray, you know, someone who was able to really respect countrymen and women and be totally blown away by the culture and wanting to be a part of it. And I could put myself in that category as well. Just wanting to know more about this ancient civilization that is, you know, unstoppable. You know, survived so long, and it's so many survival instincts happening right now as we speak, and it's not going anywhere. It's as strong as ever.
Well, I too must say I'm just proud of your mob, and your mob are just doing such deadly work and getting the vibes out there, which is so important. Unfortunately, we have to finish off there, but just if you guys, if you ever want to follow this band, The Mexicans, just check them out on social media on Kimberley Roots. Thank you very much for your time, Tonchi and The Mexican crew. Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming. The time is now 8:56, and here's a track right now from The Mexicans called Broom Girl.
That is it from us for tonight. Triple Bypass are up next, so stick around. And you are on Urban Dreaming with Grace and Sarami. We'll catch you next week.
Love you, mob. Take care.
You're a broom girl. Don't walk away if you don't treat her right. That beautiful girl. Don't walk away if you don't treat her right. Some respect now.
Service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.